Amen. Think about, again, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Amen. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday every Sunday. And I'm looking forward to next Sunday for Easter Sunday, but we celebrate it every Sunday. He is alive. And think about today, Palm Sunday, if you would, Jesus enters Jerusalem and them laying the palm leaves before him, crying Hosanna as he enters the gates of Jerusalem and getting ready to be portrayed, getting ready to for the trials and getting ready for the crucifixion on Wednesday, by the way, not Friday, and he dies, but rise from the dead on the third day, next Sunday. Look forward to that. It's good to have Brother Bergen with us this morning, our missionary to Scotland. 20 years. It's hard to believe. I remember him coming to the storefront when we were there in Lake Worth and in his kilt. And he's a tall man. And Miss Ruth with him. And then he came back and visited us in 2014, but it's so good to have him with us today. Going to have him come and give us a report about the work in Scotland as well as preach to us this morning.
Pastor, it's good to be here. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. The weather is gorgeous, but it's not going to be so nice later this afternoon when the heat chalks up. For us, a hot summer day is about 70 degrees. Can you imagine that? Moaning when it gets that warm. But anyway, I think we've got a PowerPoint up here for you. We'll be up here in just a second. And the first slide is myself. I'm John Bergen. This is my wife, Ruth. And so I'm the cheeky one. She's the sensible one and keeps us organized. This church in the storefront was the last church we were in before we left. What's that song, Leaving on a Jet Plane or something like that? That's the only line I know from it. So if you know the rest of it, don't start singing it because you'll lose me. But yeah, we left. We were here on the 17th of March. And we flew out to Scotland on the 27th of March of 2002. And so God's been good. We end up in a little town by the name of Brechin. And the first time I saw this town, I looked at it and I went, wow, this is the ugliest place I've ever seen in my life. It was cold. It was dark. It was one of those places that was just exactly the opposite of Texas. I was in the heat and air conditioning business before that, and God said, I want you in the ministry. And I went, God, I don't think so. And he said, well, I'm going to even go one step further. I'm going to put you in this cold climate that doesn't even know what air conditioners are. And their heat is completely all water stuff, so it's nothing you've ever worked on before in your life. And that's where I'm going to put you. So we end up in this little town called Brechin. But I think it's important for us to understand the why we do what we do. And so our next slide is a picture of some baptisms that we've done. And I'm just going to share one quick story. If you see the biggest picture on there, that was my friend Margaret. And I loved Margaret. And this picture was taken when she was 85 years old. And this is the point. This is why you support missionaries. This is why you have been supporting us for 20 years. When I arrived in Brechin, I fell in love with a silly game called football. But it's not football like you know it. It's proper football, where they kick it with their feet. Their football, right? Not this little pigskin thing that you run around with. That, I don't know why we call that football. I have no idea. But Margaret was the longest-term fan of Brechin City Football Club, and you know you've lost the plot when you become a Brechin City fan. We are now in the Highland League. We soared up to the Champions League at one point, but we've crashed out. And now we are in the Highland League that nobody cares about unless you're actually in the Highland League. But I love my football, and Margaret loved her football, and so we became friends. After a while, she came to me, and she says, John, she says, I've told my kids that when I die, you're going to do my funeral. Okay. Yeah, whatever you want, Margaret. I love you, and you know it, and whatever you want, I'll do it for you. Well, this went on for several years, and she got to a point where I looked at her one day, and I says, Margaret, a couple problems here. I'm happy to do your funeral if that's what you want, but you probably ought to come hear me preach. You may not like the way I preach. You may not like the message I preach, and you ought to at least come and make up your mind. And then if you decide after that you don't want me to preach your funeral, you still got time to find somebody else to do it. Well, she came. It was Palm Sunday. What year was that? 2011, Palm Sunday. And we were sitting at a football match when I challenged her with that challenge. And I said, by the way, next Sunday is Easter. That's as good of an excuse as any to be in church. And she said, okay, I'll come. She came that Easter Sunday, and after that, she just never missed. And what a blessing she was to my life. And I kept preaching the gospel. And finally, we did kind of a testimony time one day, and she stood up and she says, my life has completely changed since I started coming to this church. I've never been so happy and joyful in my life. Well, that led then to that personal conversation. Margaret, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? She says, oh, I do. She says, I don't understand it all. She says, but that stuff you preach every Sunday, I believe every bit of that. And so at 85 years old, I baptized her, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now the challenge is, if we had not been there, I would like to think God would have called somebody else to this little community of Brecon. But so far since we've been there, and as you can tell, I'm not 20 anymore, whether I like to admit it or not, but God has not called anybody else to Brecon that I know of. Had we not been there, I will allow you to use your own imaginations where she would be spending eternity. If that doesn't make your heart grieve, you really need to be at the altar this morning and confessing to God your lack of compassion for the souls that he came to save. We are celebrating Palm Sunday today. We are going to be celebrating Easter next week in a very specific way. But that's why God came, to save souls like Margaret, to save souls like mine, and to save souls like yours. And that's why we're there. I'm going to turn it over to Ruth to kind of speak, to address the rest of our slides, and she'll start with where we were.
So this was what we looked like in 2002. We've changed a little bit since then.
No.
So if you go to the next one, this is the last time our family was ever together, and I get the joy of telling you a little bit about our kids. So on your far right is our oldest son, Talon, and his wife, Emily, is in front of him, and the two blonde girls are his, and they stay in Connecticut. The one getting married is Caleb, and he married a Highland girl, Tina, and they live across the street from us there in Brecon. The tallest girl there is our daughter Judy, and if you've prayed for us and read our newsletters over the years, I'm going to thank you for praying for Judy. Judy's doing much better. She's learned to control her illness, and she is now going to Napier University in Edinburgh. The one on the farthest side there is Anna, and Anna's gone full circle. She is now teaching what you call pre-K, they call it nursery, in the school where she went to nursery and primary school. So she's the one that is opening our church and making it so our people can have church right now. And the one right in front of John is Jessie, and that's one that nobody here has met because she was actually born in Scotland. As far as she's concerned, she's Scottish. So that's our family. Jessie's is living it in the building I'll show you in a little bit where we live, and she is going to Dundee and Angus College learning how to be a carpenter. So that's our family. If you go to the next one, this is our latest addition. This, because that picture before was taken in 2016. Like I said, that's the last time our whole family was together. This is our latest addition. This is Caleb and Tina's little Holly Grace, and she is a year and a half, and she's our joy. If you go to the next one, you know, when God called John into ministry, we were busy and active in a church, and it was okay with me, but I wasn't totally on board. And then we took a survey trip to Scotland. And as we toured through Scotland, and I saw one empty church building after another. Church buildings used as barns, church buildings used as libraries, as pubs. Church buildings just with the doors locked and the windows that had one time been stained glass windows just broken and smashed. God broke my heart. For people that once sent missionaries to the world, and now they don't even go to church. Most of them, if you ask them about a Bible, they'll tell you, well, it's a good book morally, but it's full of myths and fables. So God, ironically, had us buy an old church, an old pub hotel building and make it into a church building. So in 2006, we got this building. If you go to the next one, this was our dedication day. And if you go to the next one, you'll see then the work started. Because the people had just walked out of this building and left it. And it's a very old building, much loved building at one time. And how many people have come through the doors and say, I had my first drunk here, or my first fight. If you go to the next one, we had our first meeting there. We had been renting a building before that. We had our first meeting there in September of 2006. And the building downstairs quickly became church, and upstairs became a home for us to live in. The restaurant room became, the one you saw before was used to be the function suite. That's where we meet. The restaurant room became our kind of all-purpose meeting room. If you go to the next one, this is the last room that we worked on. We finished it, go to the next one, in 2020, which was excellent. This is turned into John's office. And people know that if the front door is open, that means they can come in and talk to John. And they love our coffee. So they come in and talk to John. And in 2020, that became a revolving door because it was one place they could go and sit down and talk to somebody. One time, I came to the States before he did, last year, and I called him up. How was today? Well, today was a 5 coffee pot day. So a well-used room. If you go to the next one, you know, it's not about the building. It's about the people. And we learned quickly if we had fellowship dinners and if we had exciting things to go on, if you go to the next one, the people would come. And we had activities for the teens and activities for the kids. And if you go to the next one, I put this one in here because I wanted to show you that we try to reach all ages. The lady on the top, that was Jenny. Jenny missed her 100th birthday by 3 weeks. She was a believer when she came to us, and God blessed us with Jenny to teach us about Scottish people. And we appreciate the fact that God gave us Jenny. And I show the youngest one. I work with the kids. In one summertime when we did what you call vacation Bible school, we call it holiday Bible time, we're singing some songs and we get done and they go to the next project that they were doing, and the little boy come up to me and he pulled on my skirt and he said, Miss, why are we singing sweary words? Sweary words? What do you mean? Jesus Christ! That's why we're there. Because that's what the kids know about Jesus Christ. He's a sweary word, and that's the only way they know him. If you go into the next one, just to show you a couple pictures of our church. Our church got hit hard with COVID, and not this many people are coming anymore. But if you go to the next one, that's how we're set up on a Sunday morning now, just to kind of show you. The next slide shows you ways that you can follow us if you'd like. We're Brecon Baptist Fellowship on Facebook, or you can go to BreconBaptist.org.uk. And if you go to the last one there, I wanted to put up this verse because I want to leave this with you. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Over the last 20 years, God has opened up doors that have been unbelievable to us. But slowly but surely, those doors have been closing. Pray with us as we go back to Scotland that God will open up new doors in ways that only he can to speak the mystery of Christ into their lives.
I love my electronic toys, but sometimes they take a second to open, so bear with me here. Hopefully that opens to my notes. Yes, it did. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When they work right, they work great. When they work bad, they work terrible. Anyway, I just want to say so far this morning has been a blessing to me to hear the singing and the music and to be in this fellowship. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I'm those that have come to know Christ in our ministry there, would want to thank you as well, and someday you'll get to meet him in heaven. But I want to say thank you for supporting us so faithfully over all these years. 20 years, can you believe that? I'm having a hard time. My knees and my back say it's been at least 40 years, but my heart says it can't possibly be 20. It just has flown by so fast, and God has been so good. And so it is a real privilege for me to be here today on this Palm Sunday and to be able to preach about Jesus. I think the resurrected Savior, the cross, the whole ethos of what Christianity should mean to each and every one of us just resonates with my heart all the time. My wife will tell you, I can't go too many places and not figure out a way to talk about Jesus somewhere in the journey. I went down for a cup of coffee not too long ago, 45 minutes later. I said, I'm sorry, your coffee's all going to be cold. And she says, I didn't figure you'd be back anytime soon. So, anyway, that's the joys of life and the gospel, and it means a lot to us. And so to be able to share today is huge for me, and to say thank you for all these years of faithful prayer support, faithful financial support, faithfully loving us as time has gone by. And I just want to say, you guys don't realize how blessed you are to have such a missional-minded pastor. I can tell stories about pastors that I know, and I really try and love them and try and respect them, but they just do not have the heart your pastor has for missions. And every time I have been here, he has welcomed us so warmly, and I want to say thank you, Pastor, for being a great pastor in that respect. And I hope your people, it's rubbed off on them. We were with Rachel and Philip last night, and I want to say thank you to them for hosting us last night. And so I'm pretty sure if they've got, the maximum, you've got a lot of missions-minded people in your church because they express it very well. And let's see, where's Judy? Judy, where are you at here? You in here somewhere? There you are. Oh, you're one of the spiritual ones sitting on the back row. Yeah. I was telling the spiritual folks back here, what happens is the preacher preaches, and they go, oh, we're spiritual enough, we don't need that. So you guys are in trouble because you're sitting on the back row. It all stacks up on the back row back there. So anyway, Clovis and Judy, we had a chat last night as well. Again, a great missional heartbeat from them as well. I was supposed to say something about pecan pie and brownies, but I forget what it was. So did you remember what it was? She forgot too. So anyway, we ate it, and so that's why I'm not starving. Anyway. God's been good. We did communicate well enough to understand that both of our spiritual gift is sarcasm. So anyway, with that said, let's jump right into the Word of God and see what we can learn this morning in the time we have together. So we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 19, verse 28 to 40. So I want to read that for us here very quickly, and then I want to kind of address the idea, because I believe the honesty is we should do better sharing the gospel into our world because of some principles we can draw from this day of triumphal entry. And I've got about 27 of them, but I will probably only share two or three today. And you will have to, I will encourage you, go back into this text, take my thought process of sharing gospel out of the principles from here, and design your own extra principles and see if you can figure out the other 27 that I'm going to leave out today. All right, is that fair enough? Yeah. I was only disappointed. I see all the cool people are over here. Sorry, the rest of y'all. This is where the cool people hang out. They're not really that cool, but they think they are. So we got to humor them a little bit, right, John? So I was a little disappointed you didn't invite me to come and get cool myself. But anyway, so you guys listen close, because some of you, I need you to come. As I said, I'm not 20 anymore. So some of you need to get right with God, surrender the mission field, and come and help us, all right? That's my challenge to y'all. Any of the rest of y'all in your 20s, 30s? I was 37 when God called me to ministry, so I don't know that it's ever too late. But anyway, all that to say, we need to have a heartbeat that focuses on sharing the gospel. And I hope we'll have a couple principles from here today. So Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28, and I should slow down. I'm in Texas, but I can talk a little bit faster because I'm not in Arkansas. And so, anyway, so we're good, right? All right, so you're going to have to listen fast as I talk fast, And it says, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village over against you, and in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereupon you yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither." And verse 31, "And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord has need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. They cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now on the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, I tell you, that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Now, what a fantastic day. Now, I'm going to try and set a little bit of it, because I got to confess, in some ways, my understanding of this text is, I think I have limited myself, and I have limited what I have seen in this text before. Because I guess in my head, I had somebody ask me not too long ago, how many people do you think were in this procession? And I went, I don't know, 500, 1,000, 250? I don't know. I've never really thought about it. It says there was a multitude, but how big's a multitude? Well, if you're pastoring a little church in a place called Brechin, Scotland, 40 or 50 is a multitude. That's pretty good to me. You know, so it's all based on perspective. But when you realize that Jerusalem itself, if you look at the reports from the sacking of Jerusalem in 70 AD, just 30 years from this point in the future, and you realize that 1.1 million people may have been killed by the Romans as they invaded Jerusalem. They sold into slavery another over 600,000 people. That is 1.7 to people that were either enslaved or killed. So how big was the city? Surely they didn't kill 100% of everybody, so there may have been another 300,000-400,000 people in that city. Jerusalem was not a small place. It was not an insignificant place. It was probably about 2 million people in that city when Jesus comes in that lived there and in that surrounding area right around, right? And so when you put that into perspective and realize that Jerusalem now, because it's the Passover, Jerusalem has now swelled by perhaps another 2 to 3 million people in that community, suddenly it puts on a whole different perspective, doesn't it? Because when I'm thinking of Jerusalem, I'm thinking, oh, maybe 100,000, 200,000 people. No way. It was a huge population there. And now when you're putting it into perspective of how many people were in this parade, perhaps 250 to 300,000 people. Can you, if you envision that, coming out, and this is before the days of PA systems, mass media. I mean, there was no advertisement put out for this. They hadn't been doing this buildup for weeks in advance. There had been a lot going on. Understand, Jesus was busy. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, come forth. His sister's going, you can't do that. He stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus says, nah, come on, Lazarus. Show us the power of God. He's been to Zacchaeus' house, a life that was changed, a life that the testimony there in Jericho, who can only imagine what that must have involved? And yet now we find here he is coming into the city and the crowds are crying, Hosanna. And so as we think about these things, I want us to think and I want us to put it into this perspective of this idea of we should do better sharing the gospel in our world because of a few examples. As I say, you're going to have to ferret out some for yourself. But I want us, first of all, to see the humility of Jesus. Jesus shows that the gospel is for everyone, not just for, the word I would use in Scotland is posh. It's not just for the rich and the famous. It's for everyone. It's for the whosoever will that may come. It is not just for me. It's not just for you. It's for whosoever will. And it was the same thing there. Jesus came in. The disciples went, and if we go to the Gospel of Matthew, we see that they brought not only the colt, but they brought the mother of the colt as well. Now, for me, being a big man, it would have made much more sense for him to sit on the mother because she would have been bigger. Think about the humility of Jesus Christ riding on the colt. His feet were probably dragging on the ground. He was probably having to kind of walk on either side. I don't know if you ever rode a Shetland horse, Shetland pony. They're small, they're tiny. My feet used to drag on the ground. So I didn't like Shetlands. That's what Jesus would have had. But understand something, even in his humility, he was being regarded as somebody important because Solomon rode into Jerusalem on a donkey himself. Why? Because his father, David, said this is how the royalty should be. Humble in their actions, but yet exalted in who they are to be. Jesus, though, came riding on the colt of the donkey. He could have come in riding on the war horse of Revelation, declaring himself, I am King of kings and Lord of lords. I am here to rain judgment on the wicked and the sinners and those that are in need of judgment. Instead, he comes as the sacrificial, ultimate sacrifice for the Passover, the ultimate Passover lamb that came slain on our behalf, so he could provide us salvation. I want us to see as well that the disciples in the crowd made Jesus glorious. Jesus did not say, oh, look at me, I am the King of kings. Look at these people are announcing me as king. Observe me as king. No, he came in humbly, but his disciples made him glorious. They came and they scattered the way with palm branches, with their clothes. They laid him out, and this was a sign of their submission. And this is what we are called to be as well. If we are going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must be submitted to this Savior. We must make him glorious. Well, we must cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That is our message, is it not? We are to lift Christ up. Jesus said in another place, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. This is our task. This is our duty. This is what Mark 16:15 says to us, that go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Whether it's your neighborhood, whether it's your next door neighbor, or whether it's the people you work with across town, whether it's the schools you guys go to. Somebody, no matter where we go, there is somebody in need of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And our task is to go and proclaim him. And that's what the disciples did, but they did it as well in humility. Because as they laid their robes out across the pavement in front of where Jesus was going, they couldn't lay themselves there. Can you imagine getting walked on by a donkey? That hurts even worse than my normal backache does. So is there symbolism of their submission to this king that was coming in humility? They laid their cloaks out, and Jesus, as he rode by, as his feet dragged on the ground there, it was their sign of submission to Jesus the king. And that's what all of us need to do. We need to humble ourselves, because if we go into the world saying, oh, look at me, I'm a Christian, I have all the answers to everything. Here's Jesus, but no, let me tell you about how awesome I am. How's that message going to sell? How is that message going to be received? The truth is, we've been in Scotland for 20 years. In those 20 years, we are thankful if we get two or three people a year that make an actual profession of salvation. If I go get in their face and scream about how great God is and how great the gospel is, whilst it is true, they will look at me and they'll go, if that's what Christianity is, I want nothing to do with it. So we spend time building relationships to the place where I had a man not too many years ago looked at me and says, you're God to me. And he'll say I was a little offended by that. And he said, no, wait, before you get all upset, let me tell you what I mean by that. He said, you are the first person I have ever encountered that says, I believe in God, and you live like you believe in God. Amen. And that's what our lives should be, as we lay our robes across the path of the King, saying, I submit to the person of Jesus Christ so that I can go into the world and share the gospel better with these people. Oh, like I say, I've got so many more points, but I want us to understand this very last one. Because this last one is important, because the last one says the world will try to silence the message. And as we see, they crucified Christ, hoping to silence even the messenger. And that's what we're up against. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, listen, if these crowds, you're saying shut the crowds up, make them quit screaming, because this was going to affect the Pharisees and the leaders. It was going to affect their standing with the Romans. It was going to affect their livelihood. It was going to affect everything about who they thought they were. And they said, we are in charge. You will silence your followers. And Jesus says, no. If I silence my followers, the very rocks will cry out. My wife didn't like my original title for this. It was going to be, Don't Be Dumb Like a Rock. The problem is most people don't know that dumb just means I don't speak. Right? It really means mute, not stupid, okay? You can't fix stupid, you can fix ignorant, but the point of it is she didn't think that was very good, but that's the reality for us. So my comment was this, we should be more vocal about our faith than the mere rocks. We need to understand who Jesus Christ is as the humble Messiah that came to ultimately become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we need to humble ourselves so that we can share the message. And thirdly, we need to be vocal about it. The term I use is that we need to be intentional, incarnational proclamations of the gospel. We don't do it by accident. We have to do it by intent. And that's our calling. Our first calling is to be submissive to the Savior, know Him as our own Lord and Savior, and then our second calling is to proclaim Him to the rest of the world. That's why you have been supporting us in Brechin, Scotland for the last 20 years. And that's why we go to Brechin, Scotland, is to fulfill the Great Commission that God has put before us so that we can declare Jesus Christ crucified, buried, risen, and also I add into that, coming again. What a blessing for each of us. Let's pray. Our dearly Father, this morning, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. Draw us to that place. Help us to go back and re-examine this wonderful, wonderful day where you came in and declared yourself king, not in a powerful way, but in a majestic, awesome, spectacular way that could not be ignored. Father, help us to submit ourselves to you in every way so that we can truly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that our world will hear, they will listen, and that some will receive you as well and join us to be worshipers together for all of eternity. Father, you know the people here. You know the hearts that are here. We have had a clear gospel message this morning in all of our songs, our focus on the cross of Jesus Christ. If we mistake that for anything other than the gospel message, we have failed desperately. So, Father, if anyone's here this morning that does not know you as Lord and Savior, may today be the day that they yield themselves to you fully, completely. Father, for your children that are here this morning that have acknowledged you already as Lord and Savior, if they are living in ways, and if any of us are living in ways that are not submissive to you, that stand in the way of us being humble proclaimers of Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again, I pray that you will work in our hearts and draw us to that place of complete humility of service to you. Father, join our hearts together in the person of Jesus Christ, both now and for all of eternity. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.